Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
For this two-hour pleasure cruise, where unfortunately we still have 952 days, 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 14 seconds left of this godforsaken Obama nightmare. And it keeps getting worse, and it won't stop. One thing after another. What the hell is going to be next? We don't know. I'm afraid to find out. I'm damn near afraid to get up in the morning. I'm afraid to get on this stupid internet. God only knows all the breaking frickin' news that's coming out. Then you turn on that stupid television and oh my God. I don't even know where the hell to start tonight. God almighty, man. Well, once we finally get rid of this guy, I vote for impeachment. That's my vote. And I know there's a lot of other people out there. One of my wenches, Judge Jeanine Pirro, she's on board. She's not afraid. She don't care if she's on Fox. She don't care if she's on whatever. She's not afraid to get out there and tell the damn truth. We need a lot more people saying this. We need a few people in Congress who actually have the power to do so. Mr. Boehner, are you paying attention? Hell no. Yeah, here's another box of tissues. Go have a nice cry. But if we can make it, if this country can make it for another 2.5 years without impeaching this man, putting this man in jail for the crimes that he has committed. These are crimes. These are not blue-stained dress scandals. These are crimes. People died. Sorry, libs, but you can't keep defending this crap. I don't want to hear it. Bush, 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 Bush. Okay, fine. Bush did this and Bush did that. Well, Bush did a lot of things. A lot of people do a lot of things. We all do a lot of things. However, what this man is doing is affecting the entire country. Just a half a broken wet noodle for a brain. My God, it doesn't even take much. You can figure out that this country's going in the wrong direction. None of this stuff is working. None of it. Is Obamacare working? Oh, sure is. Oh, that's a peach. That's a real gem there, boy. That's an accomplishment. That's a success. Sure is. Well, we don't have the right numbers, so we'll just fudge them. The VA does. And they're getting bonuses. How about that? The DCF, they fudge their numbers. Oh, yeah, that's medical neglect. We've got to have this child. We've got to show this child what real medical neglect is all about. But if we can make it another 2.5 years, or if finally somebody can wake up in our Congress, we can impeach this son of a bitch. Then we got to go to work. We got to fix this. And there's a lot of fixing to do. A lot of it. A lot of it. But that's all right. We can do it. We are the ones who made this mess. We no longer can sit idly by. We no longer can trust that just because we have a document that gives us freedom, that limits the powers of our government, it doesn't mean that that's going to happen. If we want it to happen, we must demand it. We must ensure it. We must accept nothing less. And when I say accept nothing less, I mean exactly that. Oh, it's not free? I don't want to touch it. Get it away. Kick it underfoot and kick it away. If it ain't free, it ain't free. Just the way it is. I'm interested in anything that ain't free. I don't mean free like gimme, gimme, gimme. I mean freedom, meaning if I decide that I want to do it, or if I decide that I like it, or if I decide that I don't like it or don't want to do it, however I decide for me is my decision. That's not yours. It's not your mama's, not your daddy's, not your brother's, your sister's, your teacher's, your stupid college professor who's an idiot. The overwhelming vast majority of those professors, and the reason why I say the overwhelming vast majority, because let's face it, come on, there's even good cops. There's good teachers, there's good cops, there's good this, there's good that, but there's a lot of bad this and a lot of bad that. We are bad. Human beings are bad. We are a bad people. So we have to limit ourselves. We have to put restrictions on ourselves, otherwise we'll run hog wild. You even have to do it to yourself. I mean, you got a big old chocolate pie sitting right down there, and you're like, damn. Got all that whipped cream all over it. Oh, yeah, looks good. Big old cherry on top. Oh, yeah, damn. You start digging into that? Yeah, you could eat the whole damn thing. But you have to limit yourself, otherwise you're going to pay a hell of a price. Anymore these days, I even look at a damn chocolate bar sitting in at the store, man, in the rack. I already got myself a damn bellyache. I love chocolate. It just don't like me. That's all right. I eat it every once in a while. Sometimes you got to splurge and just say screw it, and you deal with the pain. But you have to limit yourself. You limit yourself with alcohol. I mean, you don't just keep drinking until there's nothing left unless you want to kill yourself. It's called being intelligent. It's called being responsible. You know the outcome. You don't like the outcome. But why do you keep doing it? I don't know. I wish I had the answer, man. If I had the answers to all this crap, I'd be president. Oh, wouldn't that be a hoot? I tell you, I couldn't. I could probably do just as good a job as anybody else. I tell you, the first thing that I would do, the very first thing that I would do is I would demand that this Constitution is to be followed from the very beginning down to the very end, 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, permanent, forever. And these government agencies, boy, am I going to have fun with you, EPA. Yeah, that's right, Miss McCarthy. Yeah, you're fired. You're going to have to go out and get a real job. Minimum wage now at McDonald's is what? About $400 an hour? You'd be all right. You look like a burger flipper. It's about all you're worth anyhow. You and your stupid goddamn agency. But until we get rid of this guy, and after we fix the fixes, we must and always, always must remain dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom regardless of that cost. Now, I know freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny. That's that nasty stuff that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program today? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room. You know it as well as I do. As long as there's one stinking liberal on planet Earth, it's a very, very, very busy news day. Well, again, today's no exception. In order to combat that, we must lift our jib and get this freedom ship underway. All right, we're officially underway and headed out to sea. Those are makeshift colors. All right, now before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, I tried to get into a whole bunch of stuff yesterday, so we're going to try to maybe finish off where we tried to start off. But before we even do that, before we even get into anything, we got to talk about this completely idiotic, incompetent Hillary Clinton. I mean, if this is a woman that is running for president, and she is supposed to be, you know, the smartest thing, the smartest creature on Earth, smartest creature in the galaxy. The first woman to be born with a brain. And it's bigger than men's. Oh, yeah. You didn't know that? Oh, yeah. She's done so much. Oh, my God. There are so many accomplishments you can't even name one. That's how many of them are. That's how many of them. So many you can't even name one. I can name one. That's her accomplishment. Nothing. Not going to jail. That's her accomplishment. That's exactly where she should be. She should have lost her law license. But see, Michelle lost her law license because her husband, you know, he wasn't a senator yet. I think he was only a state senator, or he may not have even been a state senator yet. But see, with Hillary, well, she did get fired from the Watergate deal, but she was a staff. She was a know-nothing attorney. She wasn't like she was doing any real work. Come on. She's doing research. She got to sit up there and make it look like she's cool, but she was unethical, canned. Then her husband becomes attorney general, and all of a sudden, look, now she's at the Rose Law Firm. Then her husband becomes governor, and look, oh, boom, she makes partner. Hillary Clinton got nowhere without Bill. I mean, nowhere. Nowhere. She has done nothing by herself. She has no accomplishments. Nothing. Other than not being caught. She's smart enough to stay out of jail and blame it on others. And those that she can't, well, they just find a mysterious way to die. But she was on with some chick from, I've never seen this woman before, I don't know. And I don't watch that stupid Today show. First of all, those morning shows make me puke. Those are awful. Those are terrible. I don't know how people watch that crap. I mean, I know I'm cynical, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a grumpy old bastard. But that stuff is awful. It's wishy-washy, mushy, gooey, ooey, ooze. Well, this chick was all, she was all sauced up, boy. I mean, I'm telling you, she was all jazzed, and she got to interview Hillary Clinton. Ooh. Now you got something to tell your grandkids. I don't know why reporters want to interview her. Oh, you get the ratings. Yeah, you also get, scabies. God only knows what she's got. I mean, just look at that woman. She just makes me sick. This is an evil woman. She's not a nice person. She does not do nice things. She's a fraud. She's a charlatan. She's a fake. She's a phony. And you all been suckered in. Why? I mean, the first thing that I thought when I seen that woman, I knew she was a big old fat nothing burger. And the media, oh yeah, she's so smart, she's so this, so accomplished, and so she did nothing but a whole bunch of bad law deals working at a shady law firm. That's not something I would want to, call an accomplishment, other than you probably did make a lot of money. You had to get rid of a few people, though. That was the cost of doing business. So you had to pay the hitman. There's that. A bunch of lawyer fees. I mean, this is a very crooked woman, and you want her as your president? I mean, that's pathetic. Well, she's not doing herself any favor. She's got this book out now that is hideous. I don't even have to read it. I'm not even going to read it. First of all, she didn't write it. This woman can't write. What has she written? What? No speech that this woman has ever read in public has ever been written by her. Does she even know how to write? When was the last time she picked up a pen? Or got on a computer and typed something? She orders people to do things. She's special. You didn't know that? She's a queen. Obama's king, but she is the de facto queen. And you must respect her. She's the queen. She's Hillary. No, you're nothing. Well, I don't get this whole infatuation that people have with you. These people can't tell you what. And now you've got all these so-called stupid pundits out there, and they're all trying to tell you what they think she is saying, what her accomplishments are. Well, no. First of all, I don't want to hear from you making stuff up, and it's so god-awful mighty. Juan Williams, shut up. Don't. Just don't try to. Don't. And you got them all. They're all out there. Well, what her accomplishments are. And they're all acting like experts. Oh, I'll show you what her accomplishments are. And they rattle off all this crap that is just, I mean, it's pathetic. And then you have Numbnuts now, the new spins person for the White House press. What's his name? Josh. Josh Earnest. That's his name. oh, she, you know, she's done this. Oh, yeah, we got, we entered the war in Iraq. You did? Really? Well, you might want to tell Iraq that the war's over. A lot of people getting killed, a lot of cities being taken over, and they kidnapped. I mean, did you see that? I don't know if you've seen these videos, but these videos, good God almighty. Let me get into this right now. I wasn't going to get into this until later, but since we're here. These are new videos, and this just came out right before I went on the air. New videos were posted today, and I watched them. I mean, thousands, literally. This huge, long line of Iraqi soldiers that were captured by this ISIS, the ISIS. It's the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. But they call it something else, like the Sham. Well, it's a sham, all right. I'll give you that. So they kidnapped them. Now, I don't know what the hell they're going to do with them. They're going to behead all of them? There's a lot of beheadings. I hope they got a lot of knives. Or they're going to turn them into soldiers to fight for them, more than likely. That's probably what's going to happen. For those that don't, well, I'm sure they're probably going to get the business end of a very, very sharp knife to their throat. These people are like that. These are not nice people. These are not good people. We should not be buddy-buddying with these people. We shouldn't have any conversation with these people. The only conversation we should have is, well, the sound of a bomb going off. Hopefully blowing up a whole bunch of them. This war on terror. Now, you know, I thought about this, you know, and now we're off into something else. Good God, we're never going to get to anything tonight, but that's all right. We're going to get to everything. Since we're here, this whole war on terror, first of all, we didn't ask for it. Did we mismanage it? Well, okay, you can always second guess how you handle any war. Even World War II, the Revolutionary War, you could criticize a lot of battles. George Washington lost more than he won, so you got a lot of criticism there. But we need to stop living in the past. If we're going to make it to the future, we got to start living in the now. We can't do anything about the past because the past is gone. It's done. It's done. Can't do anything about the future because the future ain't here yet. But what we can do is what we can do right now. And this war on terror, however we got here, you can criticize it all day long. The fact is we are here. So where do we go from, where do we go now? Well, here's where we go. Since this is a worldwide problem, this is not just a United States problem. Just a speed bump. This is a worldwide problem. These jihadis, whatever you want to call them, terrorists, they come in all different kinds of names, and they're all over the world. You got Hamas over there in Israel. I guess it's Hamas. I can't keep up with them all. You got the Taliban over there in Afghanistan. You got Al-Qaeda in Iraq. You got Al-Qaeda everywhere. Al-Qaeda's all over the damn place. And they got little bitty offshoots of Al-Qaeda. And everybody wants to get their own name out there. Boko Haram now. There's all kinds of them. Most of them I can't pronounce. And it doesn't matter. You don't need to know the name. But the fact is, they're everywhere. They're all over the Middle East. Where they are allowed to, well, I guess, fester and grow, they do. Europe, well, they dropped their shorts and then realized when it was too late that they don't like it, and now all of a sudden they're trying to get rid of them, and they can't. Well, you know, tolerance is one thing. But, you know, you need to understand what you're tolerating. These people are not tolerable. They're all over Europe. They're all over England. They're all over Australia. They're all over Canada. They're all over the United States. We've seen that. We're witness to that. They're here. They're all over the place. They want to inflict the Sharia law wherever they go. And they're getting away with it. They're growing. They're winning. And getting back to my original point, this whole war on terror, since this is a worldwide jihad problem, well, this is now a world problem. We need the world to solve this. We can't just have the United States. This is a bunch of BS. We need everybody. I know England has done a lot, too, while they're getting out doing this, but we need everybody on board. Australia, I mean, come on. I'm sorry. But we all need to get together. We need to declare the real war on terror. And we need to fight it correctly. We need to no longer tolerate the things that we are tolerating. I'm sorry, it may seem a little, well, what do you call it, discriminatory. Well, cutting our heads off because we don't believe in the same God as them, I'd consider that a little discriminatory too. But I'm not asking to cut these people's heads off. This is a world problem, and the world has to solve it. And no thanks to Hillary Clinton. Speaking of solving, with world leaders, okay, I was going to play another one first, but since we're here, we got to play this one here. Jesus Christmas. I swear to God. Let's go ahead. Hopefully, I think I got this. I think this is the right one. We'll find out. Go ahead and go.
Accomplishment. We were flat on our back when I walked in there the first time. We were viewed as being...
No, that wasn't it. Here's the first one. I think this is the one we want. Speaking of, this is what I'm talking about, world. World problem. And you want this one here, this woman here, to solve that world problem.
A single issue that in your time as Secretary of State, you feel you owned. Just owned it.
Oh, absolutely. But the most important thing I did was to help restore America's leadership around the world. And I...
You've got to be kidding me. I'm over here taking a shot of grog here, and I just about choked. World leadership across the globe? Really? What did you do as a world leader? Oh, that's right. You defeated Al-Qaeda, according to the press secretary, Josh Earnest. And you single-handedly brought peace to Northern Ireland. Remember that? When she was under sniper fire. Remember that? You have no accomplishments, Hillary. You had one task your entire political career, and that was to overhaul health care. Well, it was unanimously shot down. You were told, Ms. Clinton, you're no longer allowed to play in any reindeer games, so you need to go do what first ladies do, and that's have tea parties. And that's all she did. One tea party after another. She did nothing. But she'll go make a speech that was written for her. And she's even a worse orator than this stupid president. I'm sorry, I don't buy this. He's a great orator. How is he a great orator? I mean, look, I got a broken left-handed tongue. I can't pronounce half the words in the English language. But my God. This guy's off the charts, man. He's not a good orator. Tripping all over himself when his teleprompter isn't working. And then when it is working, he can't read it. Corpseman. I mean, what the hell is that? He didn't say it just once. He said it like, what, 3 or 4 times? But getting back to this stupid Hillary. And I'm sorry, you people have been duped. This woman is not that intelligent. She is not qualified to be president. She's not qualified to do anything. She's a figurehead. She's a crooked lawyer. That's it. We don't need another crooked lawyer in the White House. Matter of fact, we don't need any more lawyers in the White House. We just need people to follow the law. You don't need to be a lawyer to follow the law. And that law is the United States Constitution. I know I sound like a broken record. Wham. I don't want to hear it. Constitution, Constitution, Constitution. That's right. I want to start following this Constitution. I don't find that extreme. That's not anti-government. That's pro-government. Pro-real government. Constitutional government. American government. We're America. We're not Europe. We're not this. We're not that. We're not going to have Sharia. Unless we stand up and do something about it. But it's coming. And then would you have the president release five of the worst, most villainous men? I mean, the biggest terrorists on planet Earth right now. They're released free for a deserter. And this is the ex-Secretary of State, which makes me want to puke just saying that. She was not a Secretary of State. She did nothing as Secretary of State. Obama, the high-up liberals, the high-up Democrats, they know this woman's incompetent. But they're using her name. That's how they get votes. That's why she didn't win. They know she's incompetent. She's got a few friends that'll hang on because, you know, they want to use her name and, you know, that kind of thing. Carville. They know she's incompetent. As Secretary of State, she did nothing. Obama had all of his envoys doing her bidding. Plus, Obama, he's going to do it himself. He's got a pen. He's got a phone. He can call up anybody he wants to. He doesn't need any preconditions. He can just call anybody up. He's got a pen. He can just write the law as he goes. All right, here's a treaty. Here's this. Here's that. Here's this. Oh, yeah, you need the Taliban's release? All right, no problem. Here it is. Here they are. But the audacity of this woman to claim that the Taliban is not a threat to the United States just means that these guys, that's an open invitation. These guys, oh, really? We're not a threat to the United States? All right. We will show you. We've done it before. And we can do it again. What is it going to be? I don't know. There's no way to predict it. There's no way to predict it, but I'm damn sure there is something in the works. Pretty sure about that. But this is Hillary Clinton defending this Taliban swap. I'm sure you probably heard it before. We're going to hear it again. Go ahead and go with this one.
I think an awful lot of people think that we're less safe today than we were a week ago because these five guys are out. These five guys are not a threat to the United States. They are a threat to the safety and security of Afghanistan and Pakistan. I think we may be kind of, you know, missing the bigger picture here. We
yeah.
want to get an American home. Whether they fell off the ship because they were drunk or they were pushed or they jumped, we try to rescue everybody.
What does she mean by fell off the ship? Does she understand that Mr. Bergdahl was in the Army? Why did she use that analogy? I mean, I hate to nitpick, but it goes to show you she's just giving out just stock off the shelf responses. Nothing's coming from her heart. Oh, we got to bring them home. Oh, they fell off a ship. Oh, they did this. We don't care whether they jumped or big giant whale swallowed them up. while they were on deck? Moby Dick? What was she talking about with the jumping off ships anyway? What an idiot. And first of all, when the government says that there is no problem, oh, there's no threat. Okay, that's first of all, that's an indication that there's a big threat out there. They don't want to alarm. They don't want to alarm the citizens. Why alarm them? Why tell them the truth? We already know the truth. You just released the five biggest criminals on planet Earth who have already vowed to get back into the fight. We don't need the government to tell us that there's a threat. We already know there's a threat. But when you insult our intelligence and come out and tell us that there is no threat, and let's just for argument's sake, let's say that there really wasn't a threat. They were gonna go have themselves a little milk and honey farm. They were gonna join a commune and stay peaceful. Study the Dalai Lama. Well, now they are going to pose a threat because you just egged them on. You don't do that to these people. You don't speak to them. You don't speak about them. Don't acknowledge them. That's, come on. And if you are going to acknowledge them there, Ms. Clinton, you call them exactly what they are, terrorists. These are bad people. I'd still like to know why these men were even eligible to be traded. That's number one. Why have they not been tried, convicted, and hung? Either hung or me, personally, I'd give them hanging or firing squad or electric chair, however, whatever they use down there in Guantanamo. However you want to do it, cut their heads off. How about that? Give them a taste of their own damn medicine and cut it real slow. That way they feel it. Start from the back. Torture them for days on end until they finally die like they do. But, I mean, that's me. Chances are they won't do it. But my point is why are they eligible to be traded? They need to be spending the rest of their lives in jail or 6 feet under the frickin' ground. That's it. That's the only choice they get. Everybody's afraid to try these people. Why? They weren't afraid to attack us on 9/11 and kill 3,000 of our people. They weren't afraid to do that. We're afraid to send them to court, try them at a military tribunal. Why are we afraid to do that? Oh, that's right. There's always that midterm election coming up every 2 years. And if we make the wrong decision, well, we're going to lose the election, and then we won't have this power, we won't have that power. So is it all about your party and the election, or is it about the safety and security of the American people? Well, I think we know the answer. Bringing leadership? That first cut that I played over there with Hillary bringing leadership, world leadership around the world, bringing leadership back to the world. Like, the world never had any leadership until Hillary all of a sudden showed up. Well, now we got world leadership. Hillary's on the scene. Well, come on in, girl. Show us how it's done. Oh, okay, let's have a tea party. Woo! Oh, look, sniper fire. Oh, duck! But, I mean, how can this woman, I mean, if she's running, this was my original point from the very beginning, an hour ago. If this woman is running for president, she's not doing herself any favors. Not with making comments like that, like the Taliban. Oh, they're not a problem. No, they're not a security problem. Come on, Oh, come on. They're just happy-go-lucky little fuzzballs. They're just a little misunderstood. They're good kids. Oh, you're overreacting. Come on. Look, they've learned their lesson. They were in Guantanamo for 12 years. The war is over. They're not going back. They're already back. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they weren't already in it when they were in Guantanamo. I'm pretty sure there were some messages being transferred from attorney to terrorist across the globe. Pretty sure. But now I'll go to the second one. After she just, I mean, beyond insulting your intelligence. But again, if she's running for president, why is she saying the things that she's saying here? She obviously really doesn't want to win. And bringing leadership back to the world? Look, I know you want to do everything you can to let your base know that you actually do have an accomplishment out there, even though you don't, but you're trying to convince your base. You're making a complete fool out of yourself. And nobody's buying anything, including your... Well, let's get into this second cut, and then we'll get into her book. This is what I'm talking about. If this woman's really running for president, she's going completely out of her way to make sure that she doesn't win. And you know what I say? Good for you, sweetheart. Good for you. You keep it up, baby. That's it. You keep that right on up there, sweetheart. You keep that up. There's no way in hell that you have any business being president. But go ahead and play this second cut here. And then we'll get into her stupid book.
Accomplishment. We were flat on our back when I walked in there the first time. We were viewed as being untrustworthy, as violating our moral rules and values.
This is because of Iraq, the Iraq War?
Because of the 8 years that preceded us.
Oh, yeah, gotta blame old Bush. It's all Bush's fault. We were flat on our back. We were dead broke. We were flat on our back. We had all these mortgages, all these mansions, and Chelsea needed to go to Columbia. She needed this and needed that. A new car. Hillary needed, you know, a new limousine and more chauffeurs and servants. All that stuff costs money. Flat on our back until Hillary showed up. You got to remember that, you know, there was no leadership in the world until I came on the scene, and I brought leadership back to the world. You got to remember that the United States was flat on our back, destitute, done, wiped out, gone, kaput. Then I come in and I just clean everything up. I bring leadership out to the world. Boy, I tell you, that Bush administration really screwed us up, but I fixed it. Yeah, you fixed it, Hillary. That's not an accomplishment. All right, let's get into her book here now. And then we'll get into the results of her accomplishments. Been paying attention to the news, you already know one result of her so-called accomplishment. But here are some of the reviews now. I mean, this book went on sale. The first day it went on sale, it was already 40% off. But that should have told you something there. But nobody's liking it. I haven't read one good review. Here's one. I became violently ill before finishing the first chapter and had to burn it in a biohazard incinerator. Dangerous stuff. Well, I'd like to know why these people bought this stupid book to begin with. Here's another one. The directions on shampoo bottles were more interesting than this. I feel like the Clintons owe me 4 hours of my life back. Here's another one about toilet paper. Totally unequivocally, pure, unadulterated, stinky, no good, terrible crap. Well, why don't you tell us how you really feel about it there? Huh? I would not recommend using this as toilet paper. Maybe kindling. Do not waste your money. Here's another one that's too long, and I'm not going to read it. Who is that person on the cover of the book? It isn't Hillary, as Hillary has more wrinkles than Rip Van Winkle. Surprised I was able to say that. Acquired this steaming load of tightly coiled excrement from a friend. Oh, my God. These people are, they're not happy with this book. Acquired this steamy load of tightly coiled excrement from a friend who warned me of its content, but as a fool that I am, I read it anyway. Well, as far as I could get before my digestive tract rebelled in an excellent demonstration of sympathetic nervous system functioning. Well, wow. Just say you got sick to your stomach. You don't need to go through all of that. Any short ones out here? Book sucks. Oh, that's it. Her last book is on sale at Amazon for 1 cent. Kind of tells you how acclaimed this book is. Pure trash. Well, the first one, I don't know why people bought it anyway. Oh, it's because it's Hillary. See, these people have no idea what is about Hillary because the media hasn't told them. The only thing the media has told these people is Hillary is great, Hillary is wonderful. She is your queen. You must bow in her presence. She is your queen. She is great. She is wonderful. She is your leader. Whatever she says is gospel. Believe it, learn it, know it, and by God, live it. So they don't know any different. And they go listen to her stupid speech. Oh, what a wonderful speech. No, it wasn't. She didn't say anything. First of all, she's afraid to commit to anything because she's always running for some kind of election. But if she's running for election now, she's not doing herself any favors, and I say keep it up. Any more of these? There's a whole bunch of them here, but a lot of them are long. Um, 600 boring pages of self-righteous BS. What a snooze of a book. Nothing but blah, blah, blah. She hasn't accomplished anything in her life except leeching off the taxpayers. That's an accomplishment. She's done it. If Hillary expects to be president, she sure doesn't convince anyone by this book. Well, why would writing a book be qualifications to be president anyway? I mean, I know Obama wrote a book. So I guess that makes him qualified. How about if I write a book? Will I be qualified? I can follow the Constitution. That's all you really need to do. As president, well, you need to learn how to sign your name, you know, read a teleprompter, play golf. That's easy. I can do that. Hell. God almighty. All right, let's see if we can try to get into the scuttlebutt of the day, but one of Hillary's so-called successes, her accomplishment, is ending the war in Iraq with Obama, which how did she end the war in Iraq? I mean, she might have gone there once or twice to give a speech, and that's about it, but... I don't remember Hillary Clinton having any kind of instrumental activity in the Middle East. I don't remember her doing anything as Secretary of State in Iraq, Afghanistan, anywhere. Libya? What did she do with Libya? Oh, that's right, Benghazi. What did she do there? Well, she got rid of security, then blamed an attack on a video, and lied to the parents and lied to America, vowed to get that. And speaking of which, I've seen a report today that what the hell is his name? I can never pronounce his name. It's not that hard to pronounce. I can just never remember it. But the filmmaker that created all that ruckus out there in Benghazi. Well, I guess there's a report now. One of the actresses claims that he is a Muslim. And he was upset with, I guess, Muslims or this or that. So he did this movie. I don't know if he is or he isn't. Evidently, he was billed to be a Christian, but in reality, he's a Muslim. I don't know if he is or he isn't. I just know that wasn't the reason for Benghazi being attacked. It was bad, 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 bad deals being made with very bad, bad, bad people. Our enemy. We do not facilitate any kind of weapons transfers with people. The only sole purpose for their organizing is to kill us. We don't do business with these people. If we do anything, we make sure that no weapons gets into their hands. We don't facilitate the transfer. And then when we find out it's going to the wrong hands and it's not politically expedient, certain people around the globe might find out, then you try to get them back. And what happens? Well, they attack you for it. They rape your ambassador, cattle prod him, torture him, burn him. They kill at least three others. We don't know the exact total of the amount of people that were injured, nor do we know exactly how many people were actually killed. One's enough. And we don't blame it on a video. Is that what you're proud of, Hillary? Huh? And you help end the war in Iraq. Well, in case you hadn't been watching the news there, sweetheart, but the war in Iraq is going on. We may not be there, but they are. And they're creating a bit of a ruckus. They're kidnapping people. They're killing people, beheading people left and right. And if you're a Christian, get the hell out of town. They're looking for you. And they will cut your head off. The Islamic State of Iraq and Al-Sham, whatever, it's a sham, ISIS, ISIS. Again, they're all the same. Whatever name you want to call them, jihad is their goal. Jihad is worldwide. This is a worldwide problem, and we all got to get together and fight it. The United States can no longer be the only ones really doing this crap. And God only knows what we're really doing over there. I mean, you think this president, I mean, he's Mr. Terrorist Killer, but then he's Mr. Terrorist Weapons Facilitator. I mean, I don't know what side this guy's on. I do know he's not on the American side. I do know that. But what enemy he's actually working for, I don't know. Maybe he's a double agent. God only knows who this guy's working for. He's probably working for everybody. He's probably working for Putin, too. This whole little rift, that's all an act. Just keeping up appearances. But ISIS now has imposed a strict set of Sharia laws on the citizens just days after capturing the provincial capital of Mosul. That's their goal. They capture your city, and they implement Sharia law. I wonder how Ellen and Jay feel about this. Sharia law. And they stoned homosexuals. Where were you people? I mean, it just, you know, I'm not trying to pick on Ellen and Jay Leno, but I'm wondering where the hell these people were. Where the hell were they? These are the same people that hijacked a bunch of airplanes and crashed them into our buildings 13 years ago. Now they're all of a sudden waking up because the hotel that they go to have all their kinky orgies in want to inflict Sharia law and stone homosexuals. Now they can't do that. We're going to boycott the hotel. But no, we need to boycott Sharia. We need to boycott this radical Islam. Jihad. There's too many names with it. There's so many of them. Jihad, Islam, this, that, everything else, Sharia, blah, 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 blah. But in a document circulating on social media, and I read it, well, looked at it. I can't read Arabic. I know numbers. That's it. But in a document circulating on social media attributed to the group, ISIS warned tribal leaders and sheikhs not to work with the Iraqi government and be traitors. Don't work with that Iraqi government and be a traitor. While proclaiming that women should only go outside if absolutely necessary. I guess if they got a pee. For women, dress decently, which is what? A black sheet? For women, dress decently and wear wide clothes. That way, you know, you don't see any curves, you know. You know those girls who wear those tight pants, you can't do that. No. Because if you do that, you're going to entice the man and he's going to have to rape you. And that's your fault. For looking sexy. You entice this man, and it's not his fault that he couldn't control his urges. It's your fault for putting those urges in his mind and forcing this man to rape you and his buddies. So it's a gang rape. You did this yourself, women. You wore that nice skirt, and you showed those legs, and you shaved them up, and they're tan, and they're silky and long and beautiful. And you got yourself on a pair of high heels and you put on makeup and did your hair up, got on fingernails and you're looking hot and you got on, you know, perfume. Well, that's your fault for looking good. Putting those evil, evil thoughts into that man's mind that you made him rape you, that's your fault. And you need to be stoned. That's Sharia law. Coming to a town near you. Look, this stuff is in the United States. They want to do it. There's judges already that are very sympathetic with these people and their honor killings. Look, I don't care if that's your damn custom. That's your custom in your country. You want to run your daughter over for putting on makeup and talking on a cell phone? I mean, you want to beat your wife to death because, well, she went out of the house? Unaccompanied by you? Well, you can do that, but you're going to have to do it in your own country. We don't do that in the United States. Freedom of religion is one thing. But freedom to kill, I'm sorry, that's not, to me, that I don't find that very religious. And if it is, that's not a religion. That's a, I don't know. Weird evil cult, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what you'd call it. But it ain't a religion. Dress decently and wear wide clothes. Only go out if needed. I mean, well, I guess she's got to go to the market and get food for the man when he gets home for dinner. After killing all those Americans and those infidels and the Jews, chopping their heads off, that bastard's hungry when he gets home. That woman better have a decent meal on there. Better be goat meat. He doesn't want to eat none of that tofu. What was that story? Beat his wife because he wanted goat, and she served him some kind of, I don't know, vegetarian meal. Well, she shouldn't have been paying attention to Michelle Obama. Eat healthy. No, you eat whatever the hell you want to eat. If you like double bacon cheeseburgers, eat them. You like pizza, eat them. You like tacos, eat them. You like candy bars, eat them. You like tofu, go ahead, eat it. And shut up. But don't eat it around me. You eat what you want. They're your children. You raise them how you want to raise them. There are limits. You can't put them in ovens and you can't, you know, beat them with hammers. I mean, come on. But other than that, those are your children. That's your responsibility. Not the teachers, not the government, not the police. Nobody raises your child but you. You are the parent. You are the parent. You don't want a child? Okay, well, you know, now you can get a free abortion just about anywhere. It's 7-Eleven, for crying out loud. Walk in, get a Slurpee, and an abortion. Jesus, God Almighty. But if you're going to have a child, that's yours. That's your responsibility, nobody else's. You raise that child. The government doesn't tell you how to raise your child. You do. Further rules now include ban on drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, public gatherings, the possession of guns, and the carrying of flags that are not the Islamic State. These are all outlawed. So if you've got a flag that's not the Islamic State flag, I guess you get stoned. You got to get beaten in the street. That's strictly for, you know, outlawed. You're going to go to jail, going to go to prison. When we talked about what they did with all those, I mean, you got to see this video. I mean, literally just this huge, long line. They're probably about 4 or 5 wide. Huge, long line of all these soldiers that were captured. And they're young kids. These are young kids. Some of them are a little old, but a lot of them are, they're young. They're in their teens and early 20s. Now, what they're going to do with them, I don't know. Either they're going to go into their army and kill more Americans, or they're going to be beheaded. About ending the war in Iraq, Hillary? No, you didn't. If you did anything, you escalated it. It's now going to get to a point where nobody's going to be able to win it. You've just handed over that entire country to the enemy. That's going to be a safe haven for them. Look, they're right next to Saudi Arabia. I mean, as long as they don't go into the, you know, into the kingdom, which they wouldn't do that. But see, these dictators over there, they don't want them coming in because they're going to lose their power. That's all it's about. It's about power. And that's exactly what they want. The Taliban, the Al-Qaeda, the moderates. There's no such thing as a moderate. What does that mean, moderate? Well, we're not giving weapons to Al-Qaeda. We're giving weapons to the moderate Al-Qaeda. Oh, that makes me feel warm and fuzzy now. Okay, I'll go along with that deal. Yeah. You don't give weapons to anybody over there. Those are our weapons. And if we're going to give them, we're going to give them the business end of them. They don't get to touch them. They get to touch the bullets as they enter their head, but that's about it. We don't give weapons to these people. We need to take the weapons away from these people. Instead of taking the weapons away from the American people, take them away from Al-Qaeda. I mean, I'm just saying. Unbelievable. Well, concern now is mounting that increased aid the Obama administration has promised the so-called, speaking of moderates, the moderate Syrian rebels, which doesn't make any sense. That's Al-Qaeda. There's no such thing as moderate. They may smile and talk a nice little game there. And numbnuts there. Now, why can't I think of his name? Just big, huge brain fart here. Come on, John McCain. Unbelievable. Well, he's a liberal, so, you know, it does happen. You just think of these people and they make you stupid. I know John McCain's a Republican, but he doesn't act like one. Sometimes he does, and most often he doesn't. But when he's coming back and saying, oh, I've met these people. I've talked to them. I know them. They're moderate. We've got to give them weapons. I've met them. John McCain, shut up. These people are not moderate. There's no such thing as moderation over there. Personally, I wish we'd get a little bit away from all this nation building, because all it does is create more resentment against us. I like the idea. Hey, it's a nice idea that we can get more people free, you know, around the world. Okay, fine. But you're only going to bring freedom if the people want it. If they don't want it, they're going to reject it. People have got to want it. The same with what's going on in America. If we want to get our freedom back, we've got to want it. Otherwise, we're never going to get it. I want it. But if we really want it, we're going to get it back. We all know what to do. We just have to do it. And if you don't know what to do, stay out of the conversation. Go back on the couch, open up a bag of Cheetos, and watch your Kim Kardashian. And shut up. But you know what to do. If you want it back, you know what to do. There's no such thing as moderates. I'm sick of that word. And they do that with moderate Republicans. What does that mean? A moderate Democrat. What does that mean? Well, you don't go by party lines. Well, what are these party lines? Where is this book that you have to believe in this and this and this and this and this and this and this to be a Republican or a Democrat? Where is this book? Huh? I don't use books. I believe in what I believe in. I could care less what is written in some stupid doctrine somewhere. What does that mean to me? Nothing. If I don't like it, I don't like it. If I like it, I like it. I'm not going to like something or not like something because a stupid party that I'm in likes it or doesn't like it. If I don't like it, I don't like it. There's nothing wrong with honesty. While the Syrian rebel forces, the moderates, who've largely have been taken over by Muslim militant fighters, so those so-called moderates that Mr. McCain talks about, that he's met, but he knows them. I met them. I met these people. They're nice people. They're moderate. We can trust them. No, we can't. Well, there's very few of them. And they don't have any power in this rebellion. The big dogs have taken over. ISIS. They've taken over. They also, speaking of which, just became the richest terrorist organization in the world now. They looted $429 million and large amounts of gold bullion from Mosul's central bank following their little escapades the last few days. So what does that mean? Well, that means that they're going to get a lot more armament. They might even get a tank or two, maybe some planes, but they're going to get a lot of heavy weaponry. Guess who's next? That's right, us, America. Pretty sure they're probably planning some kind of big, heavy surge there in Afghanistan. They're going to get with their little Al-Qaeda, Taliban buddies, and God only knows what these people are going to do. But we started this government. This government just put a target on every single citizen's front and back, the top and the bottom and both sides. We are one big giant target. Here, hit us all. Does he care? No. Why? He doesn't have to. He's a king. Nobody can touch me. They're not going to impeach me because I'm black. And if they do, it'll be racist. No, Mr. President, you need to be impeached because of your criminal activity. What you did from the very beginning when you got into office has been criminal. One criminal activity after another. These are not blue stained dress scandals, Mr. President. These are real criminal activities. But we don't have a strong enough Congress that wants to do anything about it. They're afraid. Again, they're afraid they might look like a racist. Well, how are you being a racist when you're doing your job? You didn't feel like a racist when you were trying to do this to Bill Clinton. Which, as far as I'm concerned, that blue stained dress, that was not really a reason to bring to impeachment hearings. About the stimulus package that stole $800 billion and gave to his friends, his campaign donors, and the union bosses. Taxpayer dollars to his friends, his campaign donors, which campaigns are not be a monetary investment. So he stole $800 billion and gave it to his friends. That's grounds for impeachment there. Then you go to Fast and Furious. Americans can't have a gun. You can't even get a 10-year-old kid in school to make a fake gun with his fingers without calling in the police and getting this kid suspended from school because they have a no-tolerance policy. But the Mexican drug cartel, who really doesn't have very much difficulty in finding weapons, can come over to the United States and get all kinds of weapons that they need and take them back and go kill a bunch of people, including one of our border agents. Brian Terry, remember him? Yeah, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? God. Much longer than Benghazi. And speaking of Benghazi, what did he do in Benghazi? Well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to go ahead and chalk that up to treasonous activity. One, facilitating weapons to the enemy. And two, when they were attacking, instead of doing something about it, you go up and eat. And then go on a 2.5-hour phone call with Benjamin Netanyahu. And then after that, we don't know. We don't know where you went. Probably to bed. But Valerie Goebbels goes down to the Situation Room. Does she send anybody to Benghazi? Does she send any planes, any troops, any SEALs, any Delta Force, anybody? The Liechtensteinian Cub Scouts, does she send anybody? Well, no. She gets on the horn and calls up YouTube to spin. They weren't protecting those people being killed and burnt and tortured and shot at in Benghazi. No, they weren't protecting them. No, they were protecting themselves, the president. Because a week before, he went out and said Al-Qaeda's on the run. Yeah, they're on the run, all right. They're running right at us. They're running to Australia. They're running to Europe. They're running to Asia. They're running, boy. They're running. And they're not afraid. And this guy wants to do weapons deals with them. Then he wants to hand over the five top generals of the enemy. Which, again, I still cannot figure out for the life of me why these men were not tried, convicted, and hung. They shouldn't be alive to be traded. That's number one. But now they're on the battlefield. They're in the Taliban headquarters. They're in Qatar. They're on the battlefield right now. They don't need to be in Afghanistan to be on that battlefield. They're there. Just seems a little coinkydink now that Iraq is being taken over. These people see, what they did was they saw a perfect opportunity. Al-Qaeda went, oh, look, man. I mean, this guy, he's releasing the Taliban. He's doing this. He's weak. He's pitiful. We can swoop into Iraq. There's no more American forces. We can go in there. And now they're trying to decide, well, what do we do? Do we send bombs over there? What do we do? Well, again, if we're going to go over there, which I guess at this point, I guess we may not have a choice. But if we're really going to do this, this needs to be a world solution here. We all need to come together. We need all of it. We need everybody on board. This is a world problem. And I think the UN must address that this radical Islam is a world problem and does need to be fixed. We need to identify this as a serious problem. This kind of terrorism, this is dangerous stuff here. This isn't, you know, tipping over outhouses, TP in the yard. These are dangerous people. And they are worldwide. Now, how do you do it? What the solution is, I don't know. You can't outlaw somebody's religion, even though Saudi Arabia does. But we can't do that in the United States, and most countries can't, and they won't. Well, I guess we just have to stop tolerating it and stop giving in to them. And if they want to run their daughter over, okay, well, that's fine, but you're going to have to do it. Well, you're going to have to do it in your own country. But since you did it here, well, our rules say, well, you go to jail for the rest of your life or you get the death penalty. We need to start standing up to these people. They're bullies, and we're allowing them to bully us because we're afraid we might look racist, Islamophobic. What the hell does that even mean? Islamophobic, all these phobias. Now shut up with your phobias. Phobia this. I'm so sick and tired of goddamn phobias. This disorder, that disorder, this syndrome. Shut up. But if we're going to go over there, and I really think we should, I think we need an all-out blitz, man. I think we need to get the world together. We need to get countries from everywhere. And we go on. I mean, we're talking much bigger than D-Day, man. We're talking an all-out world blitz. One big, giant blast. And we get them all at once. And we keep going until there's none of them left. That's really the only way to get rid of them. Is to fight them to the death. That's it. There's no other way. You're not going to be friends with them. They're not going to accept you for being you. Oh, all right. You can go ahead and be a Jew. All right. Fine. I'll let you be a Christian. Fine. I won't cut your head off. They're not going to do that. You're going to be what they want you to be, or you're going to be dead. And that's it. So the only way to stop it, unless somebody's got a peace pill out there, you can put it in a spray, I guess, you know, shoot it off as an, you know, like a bomb, like a dust cloud of peace. If somebody's got one of those laying around, by all means, you know, bring it up and shoot it over there. I know I don't have one. I'm pretty sure nobody has one. Pretty sure they don't exist. So how do we do this? Well, the only real way is to get rid of them all, which is going to require more troops than just the United States. Now, can we do this? Can we turn this into a world war against Islam? I mean, then you're going to create all kinds of sympathizers. Oh, it's racist. You're fighting Islam. No, we're not. We're fighting terrorism. Just happens to be, they happen to be Islamic. But we have to do something, and we can no longer just let them get away with it. They're bullies, and we have to stand up to them. But we don't got a president that will. The president's one of them. If this guy is not truly a Muslim, and we already know he was in Indonesia, in a Muslim school, so he's very familiar with Islam. He knows the prayers. He knows, he probably speaks the language. He's probably read the Quran. He probably believes in it. But since he's in America, I think the guy is a plant. I really do. I think this man is an Islamic. They saw a perfect opportunity. And yeah, have they been planting people in the United States far before 9/11? Yeah. Yeah. They've been here for a long time. Probably even before the 70s. But they've been coming over here for a long time. If this man truly is a Muslim, and they were to come out, I would not be one ass bit surprised. His actions do support that this guy is very sympathetic. If he's not Muslim, he's very sympathetic towards it. And all these so-called terrorists that he kills, and Osama bin Laden, I don't get it. Why does he go out and kill some of them, but he doesn't kill these other terrorists? I guess Taliban and Al-Qaeda, do they not get along? Are they not friends with each other? What? Why are we giving these people any kind of assistance to begin with? I don't get that. Why are we giving these people any amount of aid? Why do these people get aid? We can't even get a doctor to see a vet, and these people are getting aid? These terrorist groups are sponsored by all kinds of people in the Middle East, and they don't have Saudi Arabia. They don't need money. The United States has no business whatsoever sending them one stinking dime. Why do we keep doing that? We could take that money and put it in the United States somewhere, in a real stimulus package. Maybe we can get some shovel-ready jobs and start building some wings onto these VA hospitals so maybe they can hold more, I don't know, patients. Why don't we do that? You had the stimulus package. That's what should have happened. And you knew the VA was doing this at that particular time. You were told this right when you took office. You knew about it before. You went out and campaigned. So why didn't you take that stimulus money there and get those shovel-ready jobs going and start putting more additions to these VA hospitals so they can handle more people? Why didn't you do that? Oh, that's right. That's right, your friends wouldn't get as much money. Oh, I see. I mean, that makes sense. You know, you got to help your friends out, even though it's, you know, taxpayer money, but, you know, you got to help your friends out. I see. You know, they voted for you, and they gave you money. The assistance given to date has done much for moderates, or hasn't done much for the moderates. They've been outnumbered by Al-Qaeda. They can't get to it. All this aid, do you think they get any? No. And who are the moderates anyway? What does that mean? What makes a moderate a moderate? What makes them a moderate? I don't understand what that word means. Why do they use that word moderate? And if you ask what it means, well, then that makes you look stupid. But yet they can't explain it. Like trying to explain one of Hillary's accomplishments. You know she has them because she's done so much, but you can't name one of them. She hasn't done anything. This ISIS, according to the so-called experts, everybody's an expert. Saudi Arabia is the one funding. You know, Saudi Arabia put a lot of money in 9/11, too. I'd like to know why we give them any money. They don't need to get any money. They're one of the richest countries in the world. They shouldn't get one red cent from us. I don't trust that Saudi Arabia either. They may be our so-called ally. I don't trust them. Push comes to shove. Well, you know which way they're going to push. I do not trust that Saudi Arabia one bit. They're out there smiling in the camera. Look at me. I'm Mr. Peaceful over here. Meanwhile, in the back door, they're giving all kinds of aid to all these terrorist groups. That's how they get it. That's how these people, that's how they get their weapons. That's how they feed their armies. And what do we do about it? Well, we release more of their generals so they can go out there and kill more of us. Unbelievable. Well, and then you've got Joe Biden on Larry King. Here we know what's going on in Iraq. First of all, Iraq is a mess right now, and has been for a long time. But Al-Qaeda has pretty much all taken it over. They're heading straight towards Baghdad. And it won't be long, and Baghdad is going to drop. And they're going to have the entire country. And here just 2 days ago, and you knew this was going to happen. Every time they come out here and they tell you how great and wonderful they are, Al-Qaeda's on the run. What happens? Well, a week later they attack our embassy. Comes out and says that Hillary, she was instrumental in ending the war in Iraq. Well, a few days later, Iraq is now toppled by Al-Qaeda. And when they were trying to get out of Iraq in 2010, you have the dingbat there, Joe Biden, on with Larry King, which, oh God, I'm glad he's off the air. He drove me nuts. Talking about how great and wonderful they were in ending the war in Iraq. And here it is.
I am very optimistic about about Iraq. I think it's going to be one of the great achievements of this administration. You're going
sure
to see 90,000 American troops come marching home by the end of the summer. You're going to see a stable government in Iraq that is actually moving toward a representative government. I've been there 17 times now. I go about every 2 months, 3 months. I know every one of the major players in all the segments of that society. It's impressed me. I've been impressed how they have been deciding
Shut up. Oh, we use the political. They use the political process rather than the process of the gun. I cut him off early, but I couldn't take any more of him. He drove me nuts. Really? They're using the political process rather than the process of the gun. And they've got a stable and a representative government. Really? This is their prediction. You could also keep your doctor and keep your plan, and everybody's going to be served, and everybody's going to get doctors, and it's not going to be a problem. It's going to be cheaper. Well, we find out, no, it's not cheaper. There's a whole bunch less doctors, especially if you're a vet, which I still can't understand. I know they're farting around in Congress right now, trying to form a committee, and they got paperwork, and they need to have it signed off on this over here. They need to have it approved. But when this story broke over 2 months ago, immediately, first of all, when you came into office, Mr. President, you should have done what you promised. You were going to fix the problem. Well, that's fine. You hire somebody who's a vet. He's going to fix the problem. Part of being a leader is when you hire somebody to fix a problem or to do a certain task. Being a leader, you have to ensure that problem is fixed, the task is done. So you go check up on them or you call them. Hey, did you get that thing done? Huh? Is that done yet? Is it working? Show it to me. Prove it to me. I want to see it. Does he do that? No. He just goes out and gives another speech and blames Bush. That's easy. I can do that. Every time they tell you how great and wonderful they are, what happens? Shovel-ready jobs. Well, I guess they weren't that shovel-ready, were they? No. They weren't. There were no shovel-ready jobs. And he laughed about it. He thought it was funny. Well, if he thought it was funny back then when we had, what, 50 million people out of work? Now we've got over 92 million? Oh, that must be a real hoot. That's funny, isn't it? 92 million and even some upwards, some estimates show over 100 million? Yeah, that's funny. These are depressionary numbers. These are real. Depression didn't have this high a level of unemployment. The most they got, I think they had 35 once. They might have had 37. But they were generally in the 20s. 1 year, I think it got down to 14. Knowing FDR, they probably manipulated the numbers. You don't believe anything the government gives you. No number the government gives you, you got to believe. But Iraq is not a success. The war is not over. You could look at it. The war is now only really begun. They've taken over the country. It is now in the hands of Al-Qaeda. And what can the United States do? Really, what can we do by ourselves? If we're going to end that, no, we need the whole world. And we're not going to get the whole world. But if we are going to end this war on terror, once and for all, this radical Islam, this jihad movement, whatever you want to call it, there's only one way to do it. And that's to gang up on them. We need the entire world together. And we do an all-out blitz, and we don't stop until there's nothing left of them. Will that happen? Is it feasible? I don't know. But now we got a mess on our hands because we wanted to get out of Iraq because he won a Nobel Peace Prize, and he wanted to prove it. He wanted to win. There was another midterm election, and he wanted to win it. And there was another election coming up in 2012. He had to show that he was ending the war in Iraq and he was bringing peace to the Middle East. He was bringing peace throughout the world. He's the savior. Well, it didn't happen. The rest of the world saw right through you, Mr. Obama. We all do. Coming out and lying to us as if we're stupid enough to actually believe it. And these people, they don't understand that they're making complete fools of themselves. So I say, Hillary, you keep talking, girl. You keep it up. Every time you open your mouth all week. She's had a very bad week. Her book goes on sale. First days, 40% off. Nobody wants it. The people that did read it hate it. She's out there making these wild claims that she brought back leadership in the world. There was no world leadership until Hillary Clinton showed up. And then, boom, look at it. Here we are. The United States was flat on its back, just flat right on its back because of Bush. Well, she comes in, boy, I tell you, she just straightened that place right up. And they ended that war in Iraq. Boy, I tell you, brought peace to the Middle East. Al-Qaeda's on the run. Yeah, they're on the run. All right, what the hell else we got in here today? Oh, here's a report. I was going to get into this yesterday, but I never got into hardly anything yesterday. And I barely got into anything that I was going to try to get into tonight. So we're going to keep on going until we got no more time left. Turns out during the Benghazi attacks, I need a shot of grog here before we do this. Just one more example that this cockamamie story, that this whole Benghazi mess was over a video. The terrorists who attacked the U.S. consulate in the CIA annex building, Al-Qaeda, used cell phones that seized from the State Department personnel during the attacks. Well, how did they seize them? Did they hold them hostage or did they kill them? See, we only got proof that four died. But we do know that there's a great deal of numbers of people that were not on the list to be made public. CIA had a lot of people over there. What they were doing, well, they were trying to get those weapons back. We've also got a report that during the attack, there were 400 surface-to-air missiles, either in the embassy itself or of the consulate or whatever, or in the annex building. But they were stolen. So not only did we not get our weapons back, but we lost 400 surface-to-air missiles, and we lost four Americans, at least. So how did they get those cell phones is what I'd like to know. Did they shoot them and incapacitate them and then steal them? Well, they stole them from the State Department personnel during the attacks. And the U.S. spy agencies overheard them contacting the senior leaders of their little group there and giving reports on what was going on. Hey, boss, yeah, we're kicking their ass. Yeah, they don't have any security. They got nothing. They got a couple of guys on the roof over there, but we got a couple of mortars that'll take care of them. Yeah, we're raping the ambassador right now. Somebody's got a cattle prod up his ass. They're going to burn him here in a little bit. He'll be dead in no time. So everything's gone as planned. So, well, let me get back to the fight, boss. I mean, this is unbelievable. And the first moment I heard that story of a video, and I was like, how did they come up? What? I was like, this doesn't even make any sense. Why would they blame a video? This wasn't a video. And then they tried to pawn it off as all the other stuff that was going off in Egypt, which there was what? 10, 20 people sitting around throwing a fit? Come on. Come on. This was a pre-planned attack because they didn't want to give up their weapons, and they wanted more of them. You don't do deals with these people. You don't even have communication with these people. Well, Eric Stahl, the man's name, who was recently retired as a major in the United States Air Force, served as a pilot of one of the C-17 aircraft that was used to transport the corpses of the four casualties from Benghazi. In an exclusive interview with Fox News, Mr. Saul said that members of a CIA-trained global response staff who raced to the scene, were confused by the administration's repeated implication of the video as a trigger for the attacks. They knew during the attack who was doing it. Right after they had left the consulate in Benghazi and went to the CIA safe house, they were getting reports that cell phones, consulate cell phones, were being used to make calls to the attackers' supervisors. So they knew what the hell was going on. Maybe if our president was down in the Situation Room during the attack, maybe he would have learned this. But see, he had that speech to give. He had a fundraiser the next day. You know, Mitt Romney was gaining ground on the polls. And he was losing in popularity. He had to get that back. Everything had to be just right. And because he went out there and said that Al-Qaeda's on the run, and now we're not, and we got attacked, well, we can't let the world know that. Let's blame it on a video. I mean, if you're going to blame an attack on something, to blame it on a video, I mean, if you can't get any more creative than that, then you have no business coming up with spin. I mean, my God, a five-year-old could have come up with something better than a video. A video. A video. A video. A video. Is going to do all that. That's going to die. A video. Really. That little video made them rape and torture our ambassador and steal 400 surface-to-air missiles. Yeah. Well, looks Mr. Bergdahl, Private Bergdahl, I am not going to call him a sergeant. I don't care that he was promoted. Deserters, he's a private. Well, looks like he's heading back to the United States. He should be there sometime tonight, about midnight Texas time. He's on phase 3 of his reintegration process. You know, I just found out he was also... I'd like to know, well, why we're just finding out about this now, I'd like to know, with all the other reports of all the history of him, when he went over, tried to go into the Foreign Legion, and he did this, and he moved in with some girlfriend, and he did that, and then he went and joined the Army. Why did we not know that he was kicked out of the Coast Guard? Why are we just finding out about that now? What's the deal with that? And how the hell do you... How the hell can you get kicked out of the Coast Guard? I mean, the Coast Guard? Come on. Short pants sailors, please. How the hell do you get kicked out of the Coast Guard? But if you get kicked out of the Coast Guard, I guess the Army will take you. This was during, what, 2006 or whatever? 2008, when they needed soldiers. So I guess they took just about anybody, and they took Mr. Bergdahl. After he had psychological problems in the Coast Guard. How can you have psychological problems in the Coast Guard? I don't know. But if somebody's got psychological problems and they're no longer fit to do any kind of duty, including the Coast Guard, you should not be in the Army carrying a gun. How do we know you're not going to turn around and shoot the troops? Shoot yourself. So I'm going to have to hold the Army a little responsible for this. I know you need troops. I know you need them in. But now, was there any real way of knowing? Probably, maybe, I don't know. There's no real way to blame the Army, no real way to blame anything other than Mr. Bergdahl. He's the one who did it. But if you get kicked out of the Coast Guard with psychological problems, that's not a person that you want on the front lines. But not for nothing. But you want response. You need, look, soldiers got to be responsible. They got to know where to shoot, who to shoot, when to shoot, and to shoot. You can't be a dummy. Be some psycho freak who hates America and he's pissed off at the world because a foreign legion wouldn't take him. This guy's got all kinds of weird fantasies in his head. I still believe he thought that he was disillusioned somehow, some way. How this kid got disillusioned, maybe he got it from his daddy, maybe he got it along the way, I don't know. Maybe his girlfriend, I don't know. But he got there. He's disillusioned. I still believe he thought that he was going to go, he wanted to look for the Taliban, and he wanted to become their friend. Well, these aren't friendly people. And when they didn't give him what he wanted, well, he tried getting a little bit more, and then they probably didn't give him... You know, he thought, well, they're not the people I thought they were. I need to escape. Well, he did. He was gone for 5 days. They found him, if this story's true. Coming from Mr. Bergdahl, which we found out, I guess that story is coming directly from him. Unless maybe it came from, I don't know, the Army who was keeping tabs on him. They knew where he was, but they didn't want to go get him. Why should they risk the lives of these people on a deserter? I guess I can't blame them. But if this story is true, well, then they put him in a cage. Kept him there like an animal. Then he finally got back and became their friends, and they're, you know, he's target practicing with them. But this kid thought that he was going to become, you know, one of the Taliban friends. It is kind of funny, though, and these soldiers do make a good point, that when they were out there looking for him, the amount of roadside bombs seemed to be a lot more frequent, and a lot more of them, and a lot more other attacks. So did Bergdahl tell the Taliban where the Americans were? Kind of seems that way. Kind of seems that way. What made this kid do it? I don't know. But he's coming home tonight. Whether he gets a chance to speak to his parents or not later on, who knows? But they say, well, his health is fine. Oh, yeah, he's stable. He's fine. He didn't have any health problems. But Taliban just said, hey, look, we're going to kill this kid if you don't send over our guys. And, oh, okay, we give. Uncle. How many more crimes against not only the Constitution, but American people, our livelihood, our sovereignty, our solvency, our common defense, our general welfare, first sentence of our Constitution? How many more of these violations does this president have to commit before we can finally get somebody in Congress to actually use the I word? Unlike Lindsey Graham. Well, you know, if he does this again, we might, you know, somebody might, you know, accidentally say something about something related to impeachment. If he does it again. Well, we've said if he does it again how many times? And he keeps doing it again and again and again. And he's going to continue to do it again and again and again. until we stop him. We're the only ones who can stop him. Will we? I don't know. Before we can demand more of our government, we must first demand more of ourselves. So I want to thank everybody listening here tonight, everybody in the chat room. Looks like we got a couple of guests. Looks like Iggy Mom was in here for a little while. And my first mate, Kel Fritzy, looked like she was in there for a while. So I want to thank everybody listening. Everybody's on their smartphones. Everybody's going to be downloading later. And we will see you back here tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. How about that? We made it. Another week is gone. We'll see you back here tomorrow night at 8. Goodbye, everybody.